When I got to Canada in 1997, I heard about this thing called country music. Country music. And I think in country music, the best song titles of any music genre is in country music, hands down, the best. Yeah, are a few. Thank God and Greyhound, she's gone. What about this one? I got tears in my ears while laying on my back thinking about you. Another one. How can I miss you if you won't go away? I like this one. If love were oil, I'd be a quart low. Another one. And I'll stop with this one. If the phone don't ring, baby, you'll know it's me. It's just champions titles. You just know there's a story behind every one of those song titles. Most of them are about a woman leaving a man, a dog running away from home, or the bank gone and took my truck back. But there's another great country title, song title with the story behind it by a guy named George Jones. I don't know about him. I've read about him. George Jones was a country music icon from the old school. And the fact that he had a drinking problem wasn't a secret. On March 6, 1999, country music fans were horrified to hear that George Jones was critically injured when he crashed his Lexus into a bridge in Nashville. The investigation showed that George was drunk at the wheel. Thankfully, he recovered. And 2 months later, a new album came out called Cold Hard Truth. And the main hit song on that album was Choices, the name called Choices. And ironically, the leading phrase in that song was, I'm living and dying with the choices I've made. Life has many choices, friends. And it doesn't seem that at times when we make one, we have regrets and we wish we had taken another? A college faculty were in their annual meeting when suddenly an angel appeared and turned to the dean of the college. And the angel said, I will grant you one of three choices, infinite wisdom, infinite wealth, or infinite health. And the dean thought for a minute, and then he replied, wisdom. So be it, and the angel disappeared. And in the silence that followed, the dean sat thoughtfully, saying nothing and staring off into the distance. And finally, one of the other faculty members exclaimed, do you have anything to say? What words of wisdom can you provide us? And the dean said, I should have taken the money. Friends, the choices we make today have an impact on the decisions we will make tomorrow. Do you agree? They establish a pattern and a foundation for our lives. We can make good choices in life, and it will lead to success, or we can make bad choices in life, and it will lead to our demise. We make hundreds of choices every day, and some of them are pretty insignificant. And then there are choices which determine our destiny. Listen to that. There are choices that you and I make that determine our destiny and that impact our lives greatly. Choices we live and die with. Have you made a bad choice ever? I'm a champion. I've made bad choices. But I did a little research and came across some bad decisions in history. Sam Phillips sold a small recording company to RCA in 1955 for an amount of $35,000. In that was a exclusive contract with a young man named Elvis Presley. Unknowingly, he forfeited millions of dollars in royalties. What about Tom Selleck? He turned down the lead role in the movie Indiana, in Indiana Jones. And Harrison Ford took the role and made millions of dollars from that movie. What about the thief in America that tried to steal two live lobsters and put them down his pants? Or what about the girl who said to Bill Gates, it's the computer or me? And then what about the husband who paused the moment when his wife asked, do I look fat in this dress? This was a major mistake. But what is the key to making wise decisions? In Proverbs chapter 2, verse 5 and 9, the Bible says, yes, if you want better insight and discernment, learn the importance of reverence for the Lord and of trusting him. He shows how to distinguish right from wrong and how to find the right decision every time. Friends, if you want to make good decisions, you have to listen to God. I want to say firstly that every one of us have choices to make. We like choices. Do you know that if you want a pop, you can get Pepsi or Coke or any other flavor? You can get caffeinated or decaffeinated. You can get sugar sweetened or aspartame sweetened and other kind of chemicals. You can get a small one, a medium one, or a large one. Isn't that true? And we all love choices. In fact, if you want to buy a new car, do you know that you have 752 models to choose from? And out of the different makes and models, you also have to choose the color and the accessories. Canadians like choices. Now, a lot of these choices are unimportant. But some choices, friends, are very, very important. And some choices are life-changing. It's been the same since the beginning. People always had a choice. Even Adam and Eve had a choice. In Genesis 2, verse 16 and 17, God told them they were free to eat from any tree in the garden, but that they shouldn't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know what? They made a choice. And we know the results of that choice. Sin entered the world, and we are even battling it up till now. In our Bible text, Moses has been leading the Israelites out of Egypt in the wilderness for 40 years. He is preaching his final sermon before he dies. He has been with them day and night. He has seen them at their best and at their worst. He knows the things they were going to struggle with, and he has a pretty good idea of the types of things they will face. And he realizes that they will face the worship of other gods of the Canaanites. And he tells them that they have to choose. They can choose between following God and his way, or they can reject God and go their own way. Moses tells them that the choices that they were going to make are not difficult to understand or and are easy to obtain. And then he gives them two choices, life and prosperity and destruction and death. And each of us, friends, listen, in the spiritual, we have these two choices, that we have these spiritual choices that will last forever. Let's look at the Bible verse in Deuteronomy. And I'll read from verse 11. Now, what am I commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you may ask, that you have to ask. Who will ascend into heaven and get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask. Who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? No. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, and if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Now you are free to choose. Let me repeat verse 19, it's underlined. I have set before you, or I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose life so that you and your children may live. Moses is saying, listen, guys, this day I call heaven and earth to witness against you your choice, to witness your choice. God says to all of us, you can go to the right or to the left. You can receive me or reject me. You can honor me or despise me. You can accept me or ignore me, but you can't choose both. Do you agree with that? You can't choose both. And God has given every mother's child, yeah, in this building, and we all are our mother's children, a choice. Friends, there are choices we make that will literally, that are literally choosing life, choosing wholeness, choosing closeness to God who made us and has redeemed us through Jesus Christ. And there are choices we make that are literally choosing damage, destruction, and even death. Today, I want to suggest six questions we should ask when making life choices, which will keep us on the right path and off the road to destruction. The first question I want to ask, friends, is this. Is the choice I'm about to make, is the choice, I must ask myself this question, is the choice I'm about to make in harmony with, in agreement with the Word of God? Is it in agreement with the word of God? In life, you have to decide what's going to be the thing you base your life on. What is going to be your ultimate authority for what you do? There are two choices. We can base our decisions on God's word, or we can base our decision on society's values. And if you base your life around the popular opinion of this day, you are always going to be out of date. Why? Because society's opinions and values are constantly changing. Remember when you were small, how certain things were wrong, but now they're okay, according to society. You remember that? And society's opinions and values are constantly changing. There is no foundation if it is always on the move. If you base your life on opinions, pop culture, political correctness, on opinion polls, you don't have a foundation to build on, friends. You don't have principles to live by. On the other hand, if you base your life on the word of God, the truth never changes. Amen? Truth is always truth. If God says something is wrong 5,000 years ago, 500 years ago it was still wrong, 100 years ago it was still wrong, and today it's still wrong. That's it. I don't care what the opinion polls say, what political correctness says. If God says it's wrong. And that, friends, is the solid foundation upon which to build your life. An important choice we make in life is, who are we going to follow? Joshua came to the place before the people in Joshua 24:15 and says, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. I've made a decision. Listen, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see that, friends? It all boils down to the choice. We serve God or we serve the world. We serve God or we serve the world. If you say, Keith, I choose to serve God, then all your choices will be aligned with the word of God. Another way we can know if we're making a positive choice or a damaging choice is to answer this question. Number two, would I want everyone to know about this decision I'm making? Look, I'm going to make a decision now. Do I want everybody to know about it? Is it okay? If you're making decisions and now you're biting your fingernails and you're worried what others will think, then it's probably a good indication, friends, that it's not the right decision to make. Bad decisions always lead to secrets, and secrets always lead to pain. It's easy to cut corners, to shade the truth, to walk on the tightrope of life. But when we do, it is not something we want anyone to know about. Proverbs 10, verse 9. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Put it on the NIV. The NIV says, the man of integrity walks securely, but he who takes crooked paths will be found out. Did you notice it doesn't say might be found out? It says will be found out. Do you see that, friends? Fear that comes from thinking that someone's going to find out is an indication that the decision is a wrong decision. The choice you made is a wrong choice. If now you're scared that people will find out. The test of integrity, friends, is that your public life and your private life, they match. Amen? What's in your heart and what's in your life are the same thing. Your walk and your talk are the same thing. Friends, there are consequences to every decision, every choice we make, and every bad choice and decision always leaves scars. You know, I was thinking about the American Civil War of 1861 to 1865. I used to be a history teacher at the school back in the day. The American Civil War. You know, it was between the Union and the Confederates. And the big rumble was about slavery. But anyway, the Union soldiers wore a blue uniform. The Confederate soldiers wore gray uniform. One day, a soldier decided he's going to play it safe. He wore a blue coat and a gray pants. And he was shot from both sides. Friends, listen, man. You all look so sad. I said, I'm trying to make you laugh a little bit. We used to sing a song as a Sunday school, smile a while and give your face a rest. Praise the Lord. The Bible says what we sow, we reap. Amen. Yeah, one more question, and I will quit for today. The next question you need to ask yourself on your life choice is this. Will it make me a better Christian? The choice I'm about to make now, will it make me a better Christian? Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible, but not everything is constructive. Paul is saying, I have the right to do anything, but not everything is beneficial and constructive. Notice the freedom we have here as Christians, friends. Everything is permissible, but not everything is beneficial and not everything builds you up. Paul is saying that some things are not necessarily wrong. They're just not necessary. They are not essential. Paul is saying that even though everything is permissible, I am not allowing myself to be mastered or to be dominated and addicted by my choices. We have to agree that some choices we make, man, they got a control over us. And it happens subtly, friends. Listen, it's not something you woke up in the morning and say, I'm going to do this. No, just subtly. For example, many lives revolve around certain TV shows. Many people know more about fictional characters on TV than they know about Peter and Paul, than they know about the disciples and Jesus, than they know what God wants in their lives. I read that one lady was actually praying, and she was praying fervently for a soap opera character from Days of Our Lives. See, it's so involved in it. The result is you're literally wasting your time. And it's not going to make you a better person. Some folks love reading books and magazines and novels, and that's okay, no problem. But then they don't read the Bible. They spend hours in a world that doesn't exist. But that doesn't make you a better person in any way, shape, or form. Some people know great things about trivia and pop culture and all about celebrities and who's dating who and who wore what on the red carpet and so on. But they never take the time to find out how's their brother and sister doing in the church. How can I pray for you? How can I encourage you? Sadly, some people are keeping up with the Kardashians and all their relationship problems, but they do not keep up with their relationship with Jesus Christ. Some people can quote Shakespeare, but they can't quote a verse from the Bible. They've never memorized the Bible. These are the same people who think the epistles are the wives of the apostles. That's also now a joke. These things are not evil, friends. Listen, all the things I mentioned, they're not evil. They are, however, a waste of time if you spend too much time on them. Many activities are not necessarily wrong. They are just not necessary. The question isn't, is there anything wrong with it? The question is it making me a better person? Friends, we need to come to God's word with a humble attitude and say, God, you know what's best for me. You know what's right for me. And I'm going to do what you say, whether or not it makes sense or whether or not it agrees with the society standard, because I want to be a better person. I'm going to continue the sermon next week, part two, so don't miss it. But let me just quickly ask you, when we have a decision to make, is my choice in harmony and in agreement with the word of God? God will never tell you to do something if it goes against his word. Secondly, would I want everyone to know about the decision I'm making? Thirdly, will my choice make me a better Christian? You know, in our text today was a really important choice. The most crucial choice you will ever make is between these two things. See, Moses said, I've set before you today life and death. You would think that would be a really easy choice. No brainer. But there are many people in the world today, friends, who have chosen the way of death and destruction. It's not on the screen, but you learned it when you were young. Proverbs 14, verse 12, and Proverbs 16, verse 25. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof is death. Jesus said, listen, there's a way, but hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The lie the world tells us today is that there are many ways to salvation. There are many roads to heaven. Even Christians have bought into this. They believe that as long as they're a good person, as long as they're a good person, that's all that matters. But the Bible tells us differently, friends. The Bible says we have to choose. Now, maybe some of you here this morning, in the past, you chose to walk with God, but you have pulled away from him, or you are running ahead of him, or you're falling by the wayside, and your life isn't where you know it should be. And you know that if you don't make the choice, the right choice, it's going to lead to your demise. The wonderful thing about Jesus, friends, let me say this very important thing. The wonderful thing about Jesus is he is giving you another opportunity to make a choice. If you like Keith and say, you're a champion at making bad choices, the Lord is saying, yes, but I am here to give you a chance to make the right choice. Right now is the moment of decision. You can choose Jesus, or you could choose to continue in your own way. I encourage you to choose Jesus, to choose life, to love the Lord, to listen to his voice, to hold fast to him. There are certainly consequences to our spiritual choices. If we choose to follow God, to live the Christian life, the result of that choice is a life of joy and hope, abundant life, and eventually eternal life with him. If you choose to do your own work, go your own way, and you choose to reject him, then the result of that choice is ultimately going to be destruction and death. Not me, the Bible says this. Let me close with a little story. Dr. Pierce Harris, a former pastor of the First Methodist Church of Atlanta, Georgia, went to preach to some prisoners at the prison, in the prison ministry. One of the prisoners got up and introduced Dr. Pierce Harris to the others with these words. "Several years ago," he said, "two boys lived in a town in North Georgia. They went to the same school, played together, and attended the same Sunday school. One dropped out of Sunday school and said it was sissy stuff. The other boy kept going. One rejected Jesus and the other accepted Jesus. The boy who rejected Jesus is making this introduction today. The boy who accepted Jesus is the honored preacher who will talk to us today." Choice made a difference. Friends, let us make wise decisions. Amen. Let's bow our heads. We confess, Lord, that we have made terrible decisions in our lives. We know that. Nobody has to tell us. We know that. And this morning, I pray. Praise and thank you, Lord, that you have given us the choice today. And in the quietness of our hearts, Lord, we say, Lord, we choose life and prosperity. We do not choose destruction and death. Help us, Jesus. Everyone here. And some of us have been serving you for a long time. But still we struggle, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.